thank everybody for coming in for part two, the last part of today on March 3rd, 2012. We had just got finished reading on page number 9 about the sleeping scenario. While we were dead, asleep, according to Matthew 25 and 13, we were not conscious to the truth and reality. Now, when I think about that, many people, when we go to sleep, the Bible talks about the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. And there's some important questions to be asked, that there were 10 virgins, 5 were wise, and 5 were foolish. And the question that should be asked is, did all the 10 virgins sleep, or did 5 of the wise sleep, or the virgins, or the 5 foolish sleep, or what? Do you know the answer to that? How many fell asleep?
You said how many were wise and how many were foolish?
5 were wise and 5 were foolish. How many?
Yes. Meaning that the foolish were not prepared.
Right. The question is, how many of the 10 virgins fell asleep? Because that's what we're talking about here. We're dead asleep, according to Matthew 25. Do you know offhand?
I'm sorry, Professor, I can't hear the question.
Okay. There's 5 that were foolish and 5 that were wise in the 10 virgins parable. And so the question is asked, how many of the 10 virgins fell asleep?
How many of the 10 virgins did?
Fell asleep.
How many of them fell asleep?
Yes.
I thought they all went to sleep.
Okay, that is correct. All 10 went to sleep. The wise, along with the foolish. Most people think that only the foolish went to sleep and the other wise stayed awake. But nope. Everybody goes to sleep. And when you're asleep, what is happening to you? So if you're in your room and you're asleep in your house and somebody breaks in and you're snoring, you're, you know, dead asleep. Nothing can arouse you. They can steal everything in your house, in your room, while you're sleeping, and you would be conscious to how much of what was going on in your surroundings.
True.
Nothing. You wouldn't even know that they're robbing you. You would have no consciousness of reality.
True.
But you would be dreaming. And you might be dreaming that everything is well. Just one day to wake up and realize everything was an illusion. It was just a dream. It was never real. And so, that's where we find ourselves today. Many people think that they're dealing with reality. And in reality, they're only seeing a dream. They're only living a dream. And one day they will wake up, for everybody always usually wakes up, unless you die in your sleep, to the realization that, hey, Everything that I thought was true is false. And everything that I thought was false is true. That's what the 10 virgins wake up to. To the realization that they were sleeping. And you accept anything into your subconscious while that time is going on. Some people will play music or play lectures or play stuff, and some can sleep with their TV on and don't know that in their mind, their subconscious, they're being programmed. When you're sleeping, what is going on around you, you can hear, and it goes into your subconscious and is programmed into your memory banks. Mm. Some people, after they have lectures, they'll play them, or they'll go to sleep in the middle of a lecture or whatever, and they're receiving them. Now, obviously, these people, while we're asleep, they're feeding us fragrant deception in almost every aspect of our being and existence. From what we eat, what we drink, what we smell, what we eat, how we exercise, how we're supposed to take in life, our lifestyle, our education, our spirituality, all from mind, body, and soul, they are programming us every day. And so that's why they send you to school. They send you to school so you can be a good slave when you graduate. That is the purpose. And so as we're being miseducated, being fragrant, deception, and most of us believe that, hey, that this is, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be, that we have watchdogs who are pastors, congressmen, presidents, kings, whatever position they're in, the government, even in the education system, even in the doctor's office, everywhere they're programmed to believe a lie that we might be damned, that we might not believe the truth. But I say if you accept the truth, you might not like it. Well, I think I should make that decision and not you. But if we're dead asleep, whatever they tell us, it's the truth as we perceive it. And we will go on dreaming about these deceptions that are being fed to us moment by moment. And the bad part is that we pay for it. We pay our leaders, our pastors, our teachers, our politicians to brainwash us. We pay them through tithes and offering, through taxes, through all of these different ways to keep us in this illusion so that we would never wake up until it's too late. Even though the Constitution says we the people, but to them, there is no people because the people doesn't matter. And we find this out in shocking terms when things occur. Like they could have stopped the lying of the stuff that they were doing in reference to real estate. Matter of fact, they haven't even closed up those laws. People are still being deceived to this day. They didn't have to bail out Wall Street and the bankers and the car manufacturers and all these people and what we call these other guys, these Freddie Mac and all of them, that they're just, you know, I heard they need more billions of dollars that we got to give them to keep them afloat. So this thing is an endless cycle. And the question is, the Bible had warned us that if we fell asleep, this is what would happen to us. And the question is, when will we awake out of darkness into the marvelous light that he has given to us? So, as we were reading and as we were seeing, we were able to see clearly before that when we were looking at last day events and what's going on around us, when we looked at the definition of last day events in the tribulation, when we were looking at history repeating itself, because Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun, what is, has been, and will forever be. So it should not be a shock that during to bring in the dark ages into Europe, not into the world, for some reason they think they're the world, but they're the smallest population on the planet, so that's nonsense. But they center everything around them to deceive the world, to bring everyone to accept the mark of the beast and the powers of the beast that exist today. So when we were looking at that, we would like to make sure that we understand clearly of when we talk about rapture, or when someone talks to us about rapture, that we understand which viewpoint they are believing and which viewpoint is scriptural. So, I don't know if you remember which ones were what, but we want to make sure that we at least cover and make sure that that's clear in our minds of what is pre-trib, pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation, the three major teachings of the rapture or second coming or end of the world scenario, or however they would like to phrase it. For we have these movies out that perpetuates a rapture and their teachings of the pre-tribulation. And that's what is predominating amongst most of our people. And most people think that we're not deceived, we won't be deceived, and we will be taken up before it's too late. But we want to look at Scripture to make sure that we understand what is Scripture saying versus what they're saying. So do you remember what the what those three scenarios were and their teachings? And can you explain those to us?
You mean the tribulation, pre-tribulation, and post-tribulation?
Yeah, pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib.
Okay. Pre basically was the things that have to take place before the revelation, for the resurrection. Those significant events like Satan and the prophets and the beast being put in their places, basically the beast and the prophet into the lake of fire, and the dragon into the pit, and they have to be in there for 1,000 years. And during the tribulation, of course, we'll still be here while things are going to be going really bad. And at this time, he's not going to make it a long period, because he doesn't want the saints to die in the midst of all the tribulation that's going to be going on. And then in the post-tribulation is, of course, the New Jerusalem coming down from the new heaven and Judgment Day.
Okay, there's 3 points on of how people are looking at the rapture. The pre-tribulation people believe that they are going to be caught up before the Messiah comes back, and that they do not have to go through any hardships or any tribulation, that they will be spared. Today, people have the arrogancy to believe that they are everything that counts. As long as you're a New Testament believer, everything is going to be okay for you. You do not have to suffer. You don't have to do anything. You just got to say, I accept Jesus, and you'll be okay. But is that scriptural? Did any of the prophets of old, did they go through that? Did anybody have a hard time? Or are we just going to be spared these hard times that will come upon the earth? Now, the scripture they use to say that the reason why we won't go through the Great Tribulation is found in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10. This is the promise to the Philadelphian church, the next to last church before the Laodicean church. And they use the text that in Philadelphia church, it starts at verse number 7. It says, and this is Revelation 3, verse 7, but the answer is in verse 10. I'll start at 7 so we get the context. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. And that's interesting that the people today who call themselves Jews, European Jews, that they aren't the real people of the Bible. Interesting. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I love thee. Now, many people also think that they are privileged, the Gentile believers, quote unquote, that they're privileged above anybody else. So the European Jews and the European Gentiles believe that they are Yahweh's special people. But here we see that the Bible says that the true people of Yahweh, that these European Jews, these European Christian world will have to worship before the feet of Yahweh's true people. That is interesting also. And verse number 10, behold, thou hast kept the word of my patience. Now, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, and hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my Elohim, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my Elohim, in the name of the city of my Elohim, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my Elohim, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. So they take this out of context when it says in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, and today we know that the church is not keeping Yahweh's word, so it can't apply to them. And I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So this is the text that they try to use to say, okay, we won't be here for the time of or the hour of temptation, which will come upon the whole world. Now the question is, what is the hour of temptation? It didn't say it was a great tribulation, but people imply that it is. And so that's where they try to justify that. But we know when we read in Matthew chapter 24, where Yahweh goes over all of these different things, he says in Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse number 4, and Yeshua said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, in the name of Jesus, saying that I am Christ, or Jesus is the Christ, and shall deceive many. So the question is asked, do you know anybody who's running around telling people that Jesus is the Christ?
I'm sorry, Professor, what verse was that?
That was verse number 4 and 5 in Matthew chapter 24.
Matthew chapter 20?
Chapter 24, and we're reading verse 4 and 5 I just read.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So do we know anybody who's doing what verse number 5 says? Because in verse number 4, Yeshua says, whoever says this, they are deceiving you. For many shall come in my name, the name of Jesus, saying, I am Christ, or that Jesus is the Christ, and shall deceive many. So do you know anybody who's running around telling people that Jesus is the Christ? Do you know any?
Anybody who's running around saying Jesus is the Christ?
That's what it said here. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, that's the name of Jesus, saying, I am Christ, or Jesus is Christ, and shall deceive many.
I mean, I don't know anybody particularly that's calling themselves Jesus.
No, it didn't say that they calling themselves Jesus. They said that Jesus is the Christ. They tell us to read the scripture saying it the opposite. For notice verse 5 says, for many shall come in my name. In whose name is he going to come in? Who's my name? Jesus, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what he's saying in the first part of verse 5. For many shall come in my name, in the name of Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saying, I am, saying who? That who he's talking about? Jesus is Christ. I am. Not the person is Christ, because he's not talking about the person. He says many is going to come in whose name? Not in their own name. It didn't say that.
Right. And they're going to come in his name.
That's right. They're going to come in the name of Jesus, saying that Jesus, who's the I am, that's who's speaking, is Christ. And shall deceive many. Do you know anybody who's running around saying that Jesus is Christ?
People who saying Jesus is Christ are just normal preachers who are preaching the gospel, says Jesus is Christ, but they're not living it. Is that what you mean?
I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. I hope what Yeshua was saying here, he was letting people know that don't think you're going to be deceived by the Muslims or by Buddha, or by Islam, or by Krishna, or by yoga, yogi, or whoever, he's saying, no, I'm not telling you to worry about them guys. Them guys, shoot, ain't nobody listening to them. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. And the only people that will deceive you are those that come in the name of Jesus. That's what he said, right? Did he say the name of Buddha?
Right.
Right. And the whole European Christian world is set up on that premise. And that's why they call themselves Christians, they say. Because we say that Jesus is the Christ. And they shall and are deceiving many, are they?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Bible says. Now, nobody likes to take that scripture literally like that. Because then they're saying, well, wait a minute, you say in the whole Christian world. First of all, I didn't write this. I'm just intelligent enough to read it. And that's the reason why you don't want me to read it. You don't want us to be able to read. But it says it clear as day. The what you have to worry about in the past. Who did we have to worry about? Who did the Yeshua said that we need to worry about? The Pharisees and the Sadducees or Pilate? You remember?
Who do we have to worry about?
Who was he telling when Yeshua came to planet Earth and he was preaching and teaching, him and John the Baptist? Who did John the Baptist and Yeshua warn people about? The Romans or the church leadership?
The church people.
The church leadership. Not the church common person, because they don't know nothing. It's the leadership that he spoke against. He says, ye generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. That's what John says. Yeshua said the same thing. Ye generation of vipers. And he's talking to who? The leadership of the church. But if you look throughout history, you'll always find that's where the issue has been. It hasn't been outside.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Hasn't this been happening like all along, that they all came in the name of, well, maybe they didn't say Jesus back then. They might have said God. But they all came in that name and called themselves religious leaders, but they were killing people. So it's like the deception was going on long ago.
And that's why he told him. He said, y'all didn't catch on yet? And that's what the Messiah is saying here. He says, listen, guys, because they ask him, you know, what's going to happen in the last days? And he's saying, well, listen, man, don't be worrying about the world. You better worry about the church deceiving you, boy. They deceiving you now. And if you didn't come, if I didn't come, John the Baptist and the Messiah didn't come, you guys would still be in deception, following church leadership straight to hell. He said the blind leading the blind, and they both fall into the ditch. Now, the question that has to be asked is, why have we all the time followed our church leaders, knowing that they're leading us wrong?
Because we don't really know. Because if I knew, I wouldn't have followed.
Well, because they come in the name of Jesus, saying that Jesus is what? Is Christ. And that's what it says in verse 5. And they shall deceive many. So be careful. The obvious is not obvious. And that's what it means by that you're asleep. So that's where the whole key falls. If you fall asleep, then it's over. Because if you're asleep, you consciously don't know what in the world's going on. And so this is what it's saying. And this is what has been going on. And we've been looking and realizing since the 1500s, they've rewritten everything to deceive us.
Right.
Church, to the world, to everything. Everybody is set up under this one world beast system.
Yeah. And now we know it's a bunch of lies. We even know the politicians' lies, but we still vote for them.
But I mean, some people vote for him. I don't vote for him. It's all a game. I'm not playing a game. I mean, that's them. I mean, if you want to play the game, play the game. But, you know, the only time anything going to be set up right is when the 1,000-year come. It ain't going to be set up before then. And I don't think he's voting anybody into office. I think he's putting, he's placing people in office that have proved well. So as we read on, it says in verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, this first part here, verse 5, and this is the first warning. He says, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, in the name of Jesus, saying that Jesus is the Christ, and shall deceive many. So what time frame are we talking about this happening? For sure it happened in the 1500s because we read about it, right?
Yes.
Okay. And for sure, we found out that during the Crusades that happened. And for sure we see it exactly happening today. So why are we acting as if this is something new under the sun? This is how it always operates. It's not an external force, it's an internal force. So now that we have this, this is what the Bible calls the first seal. He says that someone will come in a white horse with a bow, and a crown will be given to him. And he shall go forth conquering and to conquer. Well, let's make that parallel for a minute. Hold Matthew 24 and turn to Revelation chapter 6 with me for 1 minute, just so you can see the parallel.
I'm sorry, what verse, Professor?
In Revelation chapter 6, we're starting at verse 1, and it says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, this white horse makes you make the appearance of Christ-likeness. And that's why the Messiah said, hey, take heed that no man deceive you, because they're going to come in my name. They're going to come in a white horse. They're going to come dressed and acting as if they are me. But you will be able to tell, because when Yeshua comes in Revelation chapter 19, he has a sword. As we see here, this guy's riding a white horse. He has a crown. I mean, a bow. And when we read in Revelation 19, when the Messiah comes, he comes with many crowns, and this one is given a crown. And he goes forth conquering and to conquer. So tell me, what place has not the quote-unquote European Christianity has not reached and penetrated on planet Earth yet? They have been going forth conquering and to conquer. From America to Africa to India, China. Now, we have even accepted the capitalist, quote-unquote, idea. I guess you can call it capitalism. Idea is now being perpetuated in China and Russia and everywhere around the world. So the Western culture is now economically ruling everything. And that's a shame that we're in that situation, but that is the first seal. So we have been in the first seal for quite a while, and now we can see it reaching its height. And most even understand that it's reaching a height, and they're joining in and thinking this is everything the way Yahweh has wanted it to be. So that's why he tells us, he warns us about the first detail. And the Western world has basically conquered the rest of the world and brought them under capitalism. Right now we're finding out in Egypt, that they were overthrown, their king there, who was the American puppet, by the way. The same thing with Iraq. They overthrew Iraq, who Saddam Hussein was our puppet. He was on the CIA payroll. At least that's what Bush said when he was director and when he was president. We find out that a lot of people around the world are puppets just for the American government and for the Western world. So we also see in Libya, we just conquered Libya, I think, and they're bringing them into capitalism. The Muslim nations, they're saying they're changing all the Muslim nations over to capitalism. They changed all the communist world, China and Russia, into capitalism. So everyone is following the beast, as the Bible says. If you, like you said, if you don't cooperate, then they force it on you. Economic strongholds, as the Bible would call it. Unless you worship the beast in his image, you can't buy or sell. Unless you have the mark of the beast. So they're bringing everything to this juncture. And so as we see the wheels turning, the deception is so great that we find ourselves asleep. And the only people that could warn the people are the people who are asleep. How can that change around? So with Matthew 24, it makes it crystal clear to us that many shall come in the name of Jesus and say that Jesus is the Christ, which they do say today. So let's go over to one more chapter, Matthew 25, and start at verse 1 to understand this 10 virgin parable a little clearer, to see as we are asleep, what are we believing? Matthew 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So all of these are churchgoers, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to church and they're all loving it. Because all of them have their lamps and they go out to meet Yeshua, right? They all go out to meet the bridegroom. And five, now it didn't say the world. Notice that. It just says the church. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. Okay, so the Bible lets us know they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. That's the Holy Spirit. So they took their light because we're supposed to let our light shine. But they had no oil. They had no Holy Spirit with them to teach them and to train them, because the Bible says that I will give you my spirit, I will send you the comforter, and he will guide you into all truth. But he can't guide you into truth if you don't read truth. He can't guide you into something that you refuse to do. So those who have the Holy Spirit are being led into the truth. Those who don't have the Holy Spirit are just being led into more deception. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried or delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So he lets us know that all 10 virgins went to sleep, always dreaming, and most likely is what people dream today, is that they're dreaming that they're doing the will of Yahweh. They believe that what they're doing is what Yahweh is calling them to do, when in reality, the Bible has told us that that's just a dream. You're not doing what Yahweh's asking you to do. Matter of fact, you're doing the exact opposite. And you're sleeping on the job. So he says in verse number 6, and at midnight, the darkest time of earth's history, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom goeth, cometh, go ye out to meet him. Now, the biggest debate is, who is this group, company, that makes the cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him"? Who are they that wake up the 10 virgins? Now, some people say the 10 virgins wake up the 10 virgins, but that's not what this says. And if you're asleep, you can't wake yourself up. That's why you're asleep. So somebody is awake at the midnight, the darkest time of Earth's history, in the most spiritual darkness that exists today. As we might say, part two of the Dark Ages. In the Dark Ages, the church took the world, or took Europe, because that's all it was. It wasn't the world. They took Europe into the Dark Ages. While in Africa, they had Timbuktu. They had the Gamali Empire. That was when they had schools. They had universities. They were teaching and everything. So the Africans were not following the Pope and his religious stuff that they were teaching, the Eurocentric viewpoint. Remember, where Yeshua was is what we call the Middle East or Northeast Africa. So the Africans had the original doctrines and original teachings, even though the church would have you believe that only in Rome did they have, you know, anything that's supposed to be following Yahweh. No, that's the Eurocentric viewpoint. That's the Gentiles running their own churches when they were not qualified by the Spirit to run their churches. And so that's what's happening today. Same exact thing. What qualifies you to be a minister today? You go to school. And you learn what? The Eurocentric viewpoint, so that you can propagate their faith. And so this group here, at midnight, at the darkest time of Earth's history, when people are trying to study and people are falling asleep and people can't stay awake and things are looking pretty bad, then out of nowhere, out of this darkness, out of this mist of darkness, somebody shakes and wakes up all of these Eurocentric viewpoint view Christians, or Christians as they call themselves. Somebody wakes them up, another group, another procession, who's walking in the light, that they awaken the 10 virgins. And then they tell them, hey, wherever you are, you need to leave whatever you're doing, bro, and join in so you can know what the Messiah wants you to do. Because where you are, it ain't working. And so they have to leave wherever they are, whatever church, whatever organization, whatever group they're in, that has put them to sleep. Or they can stay there if they choose to. So there's another verse, keep Matthew 25, but in Revelation chapter 18, you hear about this cry, because you heard here that there's a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now notice in Revelation chapter 18, we'll start at verse number 1. Now, Babylon represents the church. Now, many people know that. Some people try to say that Babylon represents Babylon over in Iraq with Saddam Hussein. That was a bunch of nonsense. Some are saying that it's part of the Western Empire, the world. America, Europe, the Eurocentric viewpoint, this Western society. That's what makes up Babylon. So now we read in Revelation chapter 18, it's going to tell us something about the same thing that is said in Matthew 25. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. So he's calling the 10 virgins out from where they are. Now let's see if the Bible tells us the same thing in Revelation 18. And after these things, verse 1, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And this is very important, that this angel has light in the midst of this darkness that we've been reading about. This So he lightens up the whole earth with his glory, and he cries mightily with a strong voice, letting people know, saying, Babylon, that's the churches, the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of, what's that word?
Has he coming?
The habitation of devils. And a whole of every, what do you see the next word saying?
Foul spirit.
Foul spirit. And the cage or jailhouse of every, what's that?
Hateful bird. Hateful bird.
Every unclean and hateful bird. So we see here the Bible making crystal clear that there's four different attributes that make up Babylon. And this Babylon, the churches, has fallen such that now we have unclean spirits in it. We have foul birds in it. We have foul spirits. We have devils in it. I mean, the whole thing is just a racket. We are just running a racket. This is what the Bible is telling us. Because remember, when we read in Matthew chapter 24, when we were reading, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. This is the greatest deception that could ever happen. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. And that's what we see today. All nations, all people, all church members, everybody is caught up in the spirituality of this Babylonian system. I don't understand how they can perpetuate music, and now they're saying the music of the Western world is now translated into all of India and China. Everybody's playing it now. Everybody listens to this garbage. Everyone's media. We have infiltrated every part on the planet with our deception. Such that now the young people are overthrowing their kings and their rulers to get free to join into capitalism. As if capitalism is a salvation. We are bankrupt in America. America has people who are walking out of their houses literally, and we're talking about that we're changing the whole world over to this type of system. There's something wrong with that. Why would I want to join a system that is collapsing? But it's some witchcraft that's being practiced over the people on the whole planet, such that people are not realizing that they are getting caught up in this, and they're just being sucked in. And the merchants of the earth, the IBMs, the Ford companies, Wall Street, all of these characters, the drug industry, all of these merchants of the earth are waxing rich. Waxing rich. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, verse 4, come out of her, my people. Now, why is this angel calling us out of the habitation of Babylon, who has fallen, and America has fallen, the Western system has fallen? He is calling us out of this system, where we can see that they talk about, you know, that they infiltrate governments and they overthrow governments and they do all of this crazy stuff in the name of liberty and freedom. So those are most definitely devils and foul spirits and hateful and unclean birds. So that's why the Bible is calling us out. He's not calling the world out. He says, come out of her, my people, in verse 4, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plague. So the Bible is letting us know that as long as we stay in this system of corruption, which is deceiving the whole planet, every nation, all the people, the church, everybody, he says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, for her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Verse 5, for her sins, Babylon, the church's sins, America's sins, the Western world's sins, have reached unto heaven, and Elohim hath remembered her iniquities. reward her even as she has rewarded you. So if they throw you out, it's okay, because Yahweh's going to throw them out too. So he really, really, really threw them out. And she rewards you and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled with her double. How much she have glorified herself and live delicately. And that's what's happening. In America, we have lived gloriously. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
We had everything at our fingertips. Now we're finding out, hey, that stuff is going to be over.
Yeah.
Okay? Because this is the wrath of Yahweh. It's coming down. Because we have filled our cup of iniquity. Just imagine all of them slaves that were dumped in the ocean. We have to pay for that. America did it. Just imagine all the Native American blood that is spilled on this land that we live on every day. And we think we're going to walk away because we say we're a Christian nation under God with liberty and justice for all? That's what he was saying in Matthew chapter 24. Hey, take heed that no man deceive you. They can say they're the nation of God, but they ain't. You can tell that they're practicing every devilish and foul spirit and unclean and hateful bird. Everything under the sun was being practiced in America against the Native Americans and the Africans. In the name of Jesus. And so this is what the Bible is telling us. See, nobody's going to preach this. But this is what it said. And it says in verse 7, how much she have glorified herself. And don't we glorify ourselves? America the Great. And live delicately. And we live like we're a privileged class, that nothing can happen to America. That we can do all the wickedness around the world, but it's okay. Because we are one nation under God. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she hath in her heart, she has said in her heart, I sit as a queen. And that's what we do. We sit as a queen. And am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. You ask people today, hey, man, the economy's crashed, man. The money's not coming. Oh, man, don't worry about it, man. It's going to work itself out. Excuse me? Yeah, man. Hey, we the land of the free, baby. We are one nation under God. It's all going to, I said, man, the Bible didn't say that. Hey, just believe. Notice what else it says in verse number 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burnt with fire, for strong is Yahweh Elohim who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived delicately with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her torment, standing afar off for the fear of her torment. Now, if you notice that recently, that in the last few years or decades or whatever, that all of the big companies are leaving America?
Yeah.
That's what they can see. They can see it. And America is collapsing, and they're leaving. And we're talking about we got to bring jobs back home to America. America is over. Ain't nobody coming bringing nothing back to America. America's history. She lived her day. And now it sounds like it's a day for someone else. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication with her and have lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off. Notice, they're not going to stand in the middle of her. That's why they're leaving. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment. Even they know that she has to be judged. Saying, at last, the great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Can you believe that? Right now, China and Japan and them, they are sending so much ink, so many things over here for us to buy, And they're going to be wailing. The merchants of the earth shall be wailing because we won't be able to buy no more of their merchandise anymore.
Right. Because we're already in debt to them.
Thank you. But we won't have money. I mean, if everything goes under, the economy goes under, you saw people walking out of their houses. Well, it'll be just the merchants of the earth. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Because you know most everything you read today says from made from China, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they're hoping that we can keep buying forever. But the Bible says no way. And so these are some of the things that the Bible is talking about here in waking us up out of this sleep. Now, that's the message that's given back. Let's go back to Matthew 25 and close this up. In Matthew 25, we were reading in verse number 5 and 6, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, this is Matthew 25, verse 6, and at midnight, the darkest time of earth's history, where we are finding ourselves at today, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. That's what we just read in Revelation 18. Come out of her, my people. So he's calling us out. Some are listening to the call and coming out earlier. Some are not listening to the call and will be, and that's why I asked the question, what will it take to wake up our people and bring them out? Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. So you see, some of the people are going to ask, hey, can I get part of that? Hey, can you teach me now? Can you? It's too late, brother. It's too late. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, see where they're sending them to the world, sending them right back to the church. Hey, you go back. Hey, you've been over there. That's where you've been hanging out. You need to go back to them. Because what we have, we can't, you know. But the call is made to wake us all up. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So there you go. So we see that those who are wise, those who are keeping awake, those who are studying, that they are the ones that they are ready to listen and follow the Spirit where he leads. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Yahweh, Yahweh, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And so he's letting us know that when we are fast asleep, we have to wake out of that sleep. And we won't have much time to prepare. So those who have been studying, as he said, will be ready. Those who haven't, they're going to miss the boat. So we pray that people can try to understand the urgency of the hour and the times that we're living in so that we might awake out of sleep and come out of her, my people. Are there any questions at this time?
No, Professor. All questions been answered. Thank you.
Amen. All right, well, we have you offer up a word of prayer as we close out.
Thank you, Yahshua. Thank you for fulfilling your anointed word, restoring and giving the wisdom. We thank you for the gift of understanding. You tell us to lean not to our own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge you, and you will guide and direct our path. So we trust through your word
that we are being led, that this lamp under our feet is guiding us in direction, that your Holy Spirit is leading us. I pray that you restore the teacher, renew him, continue to anoint his spirit, bind off all enemies that try to come against him, that no weapon formed against him shall prosper. That through all that he learned and has been through, that it will be used for your glory. In Elohim's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, my sister, may Yahweh bless you.